Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, Associate Professor of Hebrew and Jewish and Christian Scripture, and Chair of the Biblical Area at the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia, you're fired. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Holy One, our God, Sovereign of the universe, who has chosen faithful prophets to speak words of truth. Blessed are you, Faithful One, for the revelation of your Torah, for your servants Miriam and Moses, for your people Israel, and for prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
God says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days," says the Holy One of Sinai. "I will place my Torah in their midst, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord.' For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest," says the Holy One of old. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will not remember any longer." God has given me notice. And Father Shaw, too, and Dr. Snowden, every priest, pastor, and professor of religion, rabbis and rabbits, that's what you call a rabbi in training, a rabbit, have been informed that our services will no longer be required. One day things will be different. The world will be different. Folk will be different. Folk will act like they have sense because they will have sense. God will put it in us. We will all have it. All of us who were born into or adopted into Israel, and that's where we come in. God will put God's Torah in our midst again. And in our hearts, we will know everything that we need to know about everything. The psalmist thinks he's already there. I have more understanding than my teachers. I am wiser than the elders. If I were preaching this sermon in the seminary, there might be a rash of book burning and class canceling. Who needs seminary or synagogue or Bible study or church if God is going to zap us with all knowledge? Who needs the Christian life if God is just going to poof and make it all better? Well, I might as well just sit down and wait for God. Promise. You see, we are some 2,400 years from the time of Jeremiah, and we've figured a few things out since then. By reading the stories of our spiritual ancestors as they waited for God. And that's why we have the scriptures that Paul writes to Timothy are God-breathed and beneficial for teaching truth from error, for correction, for correcting faults, and for instruction in righteousness, which is justice. Now, you do know that Paul and Timothy were reading the OT, right? The only testament. Have you ever heard people talking about the Bible like there's an old covenant that's no longer valid and a new covenant that supersedes and replaces it? Well, that's not how God works. That's why we as a church read and teach and pray all of the scriptures. We pray the Ten Commandments in Lent because we know they are still binding on us and a worthy and appropriate place to begin our season of reflection and penance. We may even do so in Advent, our little Lent. For then when we reflect on the gift of Jesus, the Word of God, the Torah of God made flesh, we don't throw out any of the covenants that led to him, that he still preaches, teaches, and prays through the Holy Spirit. So think about that the next time somebody says, we don't need the Old Testament. That's the old covenant. God has given us a new covenant in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah spoke of a new covenant, but it's not in the back of our pews. That new covenant is a new beginning in an old relationship. It is God's active guiding, accompanying, leading presence on a journey, but we haven't arrived yet. We are not where we shall be, but we are on our way. We're also not where we were. We have moved forward, but we're still on our journey. You see, God plays the long game. The revelation of God is ongoing. It is not zap or poof. Jeremiah speaks of a new, or perhaps better, another covenant. But the truth is, there were more than two. God made a covenant with Noah and his wife and their children and their children's children. God made a covenant with Abram and Sarai and their children for all time. God made a covenant with the children of Israel in the wilderness, with the tablets of the Ten Commandments serving as the notarized copy. God made a covenant with David, and through prophets like Isaiah and his disciples, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea, God made new and renewed covenants with Israel and the earth and even its wild animals so that the lion would be contractually obligated to lie down with the lamb one day. We Gentiles are also creatures of earth and God's spirit, beneficiaries of and partners of this covenant with God. Jesus brought us into the family. Imagine this. The child presents his friends, even his faithless friends, to his parent and says, well, they're part of the family now, okay? And God adopted us. Because of Jesus, we are heirs to the covenants, but must never forget that we are here by grace. And we should be grateful that each of these covenants built on the one before, without breaking a single promise, without canceling, nullifying, or rejecting the previous covenant, because God is trustworthy. God is faithful and just, so we can trust God not to abandon or reject us, because God has never abandoned or rejected God's people, even while holding them at distance for just a little while. God has always returned and pursued God's people like a broken-hearted lover. For with each covenant, God gives us a piece of God's self. God reveals God's heart and gives it to us. That's what the Torah is. To say that Torah is just law is to strip it of all of its color and texture and detail and fragrance. Torah is most simply the revelation of God. It is all and everything that God reveals. Teaching, instruction, revelation, and yes, law are all appropriate translations. But no single one encompasses all that is Torah, all that God gives, shows, reveals, and teaches us. You know that some of what God reveals is law, but God also reveals relationship and riddles, song and story, genealogy and generosity. Even the first five books of the Bible, called the capital T Torah, have more than law in them. God reveals God's self in words and word of Torah, and that's why the Torah scroll is the holiest object in Judaism, one that human hands are not fit to touch. So the new covenant and Torah that God promises through Jeremiah is more than a scroll or a book. It is the presence of God within us. Jeremiah says, after those days. You see, our lesson is in the middle of a chapter made all the more complicated by the fact that the book of Jeremiah isn't even remotely in chronological order. It's a jumbled mass of emotion, just like Jeremiah himself. You see, Jeremiah lived through the apocalypse. Not the zombie apocalypse, but an apocalypse all the same. A devastating destruction on a world-changing and world-ending scale, after which things can no longer be the same. Those days were filled with death and destruction, swords and axes, rape and murder, soldiers and mercenaries, burning and slashing, the government and its forces toppled and swept away, the temple toppled and its rubble picked through. Psalm 74 describes the looting of the temple, hatchets and axes splintering the woodwork, the stonework hacked and defaced. The chalices and censers, incense shovels, not little spoons, all the vessels and vestments taken as trophies and desecrated. Look around this sanctuary and imagine. Or remember when the city of Philadelphia bombed its own people. Imagine, remember the devastation. See, hear, smell the flames engulfing the sanctuary. And our homes and our schools and our businesses and the courts and the government, the police and military dead in the streets, imprisoned, deported. All of the educated, literate citizens, business owners and artists, slave workers in another country. And a few like Jeremiah, smuggled into Egypt, the place where their ancestors prayed so long for them to be delivered from. And here they are back in Egypt, voluntarily, because that's the best option. After those days, Jeremiah's prophecy is, for after those days, the new covenant is a new start, a do-over. It's a promise that the God who brought their ancestors to a good land, delivering them from slavery, is still their faithful promise-keeping God. God makes the promise with them in their days that they might know that they are still God's partners. God has not forgotten or abandoned them. God will work with them to bring them home again and restore them. And as before, their community will be governed by their covenant with God. This time, God's Torah will not be vulnerable to predation. Unlike the Ark of the Covenant bearing the tablets inscribed by the finger of God, which disappeared during the Babylonian conflagration, this time the Israelites would not be dependent on scrolls that could be burned, desecrated, or stolen. God is preparing Israel for the world in which they would live, one which would not be free of conflict, but one in which God would always be with them. And God's word would always be available to them. And as for those who were blaming themselves or others in their communities for catastrophes, God promises forgiveness of sin, forgiveness and forgetting. No generational curses here. For even if their ancestors sinned, and they did, even if they sinned, and they did, God forgives and forgets. Folk like to say, God knows my heart, usually to explain something they're about to do that's ungodly. But God says, you shall all know my heart. I will change who you are at your very heart so that you will be more like me. God says, I will. But sometimes in Hebrew, I will really means I am. I am placing my Torah in your midst, and on your hearts, I am writing it right now. I am your God, and you are my people. I do forgive right now, and your sin, I have already forgotten it. Jeremiah's words to his people are in his time, but they speak to us as well. Look at the devastation and destruction in our days. Cities like Detroit and systems like the Philadelphia school system. Look at bodies lying in the street in our days. Rape and murder, theft and corruption in homes and schools and sometimes even the house of God. People say we have to go back to the old ways, the old religion. But what some of them mean is they want to go all the way back to the plantation, back to a time when we weren't priests and professors and presidents. Some folk want to go back to a time when women were property and men could do anything they wanted to women and children. Some want to go back to a time when black and brown folk weren't so visible, weren't so numerous, knew their place, when they didn't have to hear Spanish spoken daily. But God says that's not the way. I am the way, and I am going forward, not back. I am going forward with you in a new covenant that responds to the world you live in, not the world you wish you lived in. That world with all its complexity and promise. God has already begun writing over the brokenness in our hearts and in the world. God has written us into the book of everlasting life. God has already written God's name on our hearts. And God is still writing, still teaching, still revealing, still guiding, still correcting. God didn't stop speaking after Jeremiah's pronouncement. God continued and continues to reveal God's self through Scripture in the person of Jesus Christ, in the world around us and in our hearts. God is here with us, in us now already. We're not meant to wait around for the world to change, but like Jeremiah, serve God by serving God's people. For there are communities of broken, traumatized people who need to know that they have been written into God's story. There are devastated communities that need rebuilding. There are folk who've been driven far from home who need to be gathered in. Father Shaw and I have not been fired just quite yet. But we have been given our notice. The time will come when God does not need us or anyone to teach anyone else about God. For we will all know God for ourselves, because each one of us is God's covenant partners. You and you and you and you and I will have fulfilled our contractual covenantal obligation to walk with God, welcoming home the hurting and the hopeless, the guilty and the innocent, the wolf, the lion and the lamb, the serpent and the bear, neighbor and stranger, to the family of God. Amen.